The following talk was given by Father John Harden's May 5th through 9th, 1999 Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago.
First of all, it's a pleasure being here. Thank you for coming. In the opening of the retreat, I usually announce what the subject of the retreat will be about. This year's retreat will be about prayer. It is based on the fourth section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is one of my published summaries. I'll use the book just to refresh my memory. We begin by asking ourselves, why must we pray? We must pray because we are creatures. God alone is Creator. All of us do not exist. We exist only because God chose to create us. And then, having created us, inevitably, he made us totally dependent on his will. And I mean totally. Except for his will, we would not exist. Except for his continued loving will, he would vanish from existence. What we do when we pray is recognize who we are. That's the wrong question. Not who we are, what we are. Except for God, we are absolutely nothing. Nothing. In order to reflect profitably on prayer, you will of course look at the revelation that God gave us in the Old Testament and the New. The source that I'm using for the books I've published is simply a popular guide based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It has some 1,300 questions and answers. What then does Revelation tell us about prayer? It tells us we must pray. We must pray. We have no choice because we are creatures. We go to Revelation and ask ourselves, where do we find, first of all, the roots of prayer? They are found in the first chapters of Genesis. God reveals how in the beginning only God existed. God willed, He chose to make us except for His divine will. No one, nothing else would exist. The original revelation about prayer occurs in the life of Abraham. Abraham, as you know, was the father of the chosen people. And God wanted him, Abraham, to surrender everything to God, including remember his son. God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son to God. Abraham, remember, was ready to kill his son because such, he thought, was the will of God. God spared the son. That is the fundamental and primary lesson of prayer. Prayer is the willing submission of everything, before the third time, everything to the will of God. However, we're all old enough, mature enough, realize that prayer is a struggle, but those who pray will be saved. No one else will reach heaven. We pray with faith, and our prayer will be heard, and our conviction that our prayer will be heard, while we persevere in prayer, is the triumph of our lives. Just one word about the principal prayers of the Old Testament. Needless to say, they are the Psalms. Let me tell you, they are only as authentic prayers as we understand the Psalms. I'm not speaking to bishops or priests or religious. I'm speaking to you laity. The Psalms are our principal form of prayer revealed by God. The Psalms reflect both the simplicity, what we call the spontaneity of prayer. They express God's special love for those who believe in Him and show their faith in God by continually pray. You're not made for this world. Thank God. You're made for eternal life. And who will reach eternal life? Only those who pray. No one else. Needs to say that everyone, we reach heaven. Now we ask ourselves, what did Christ do when God became man? What did He do to the prayer that had been beginning on the human race from the dawn of creation? What God did when He became man was to show us by His example and His own life of prayer how much, what a cheap statement, how much we must pray. We must pray always. We must pray constantly. We must pray during the day and when we wake up during the night, pray. Now there is one evangelist who specializes in prayer. It is St. Luke. Just for the record, St. Luke, the most human of the four evangelists, tells us, and keep repeating, that Jesus prayed before every decisive encounter in His life. Did Jesus have to pray? No. For the simple reason that God did not have to become man. But Jesus prayed to teach us that we must pray always, especially, I repeat, when we are faced with decisions in our lives. Christ also prayed when His apostles were faced with decisive moments in their lives. Christ's prayers inspired the disciples to pray. Whatever else I could share with you during this retreat, I prayed, ask the Lord, what should this retreat be about? I decided it better be about prayer. Finally, we know how much Jesus prayed. I repeat, Christ did not have to pray. He prayed only because he wanted to, only to teach us. He would spend, hear it, whole nights in prayer. I repeat what I've said a few minutes ago. Not everyone will reach heaven. I trust and I pray that all of us gathered in chapel tonight will reach heaven. But it is a defined article of the Catholic faith that not all human beings will reach heaven. And who will reach heaven? Only those who pray. No one else will make it. They ask a strange question. What I'm doing here is following this book, which I happen to have published. Following the sequence of the logic of what we believe about prayer. What are the most practical words of Christ regarding prayer? They are his words, "Thy will be done." This is the purpose of all our prayer. I was ordained 52 years ago. I've learned a lot of theology. But I know what I'm saying. And the deepest mystery of our lives is the commitment, the submission that we are called upon to make our wills to God's divine will. Everything else in the preparation for that, and Christ, the God-man, made sure he gave us an eloquent example of a man who was God, who prayed. Why? Why did Jesus pray? Did he have to? Of course not. God did not have to become man. Having become man, Christ wanted to teach us the single most important lesson we need to learn in life, which is what? To submit our hearts always to the will of God. And you know and I know, the Armenian chapel, you know already. The older men like myself, we also know the hardest choice we have to make in life is to submit our wills to the will of God. We are to ask Him, ask God for what we call the grace. Lord, 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 help me to give in to Your will. Remember what I'm quoting from is the Compendium of the Catholic Faith, otherwise known as the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So we ask, with the Church, what single prayer of Jesus sums up all the prayers of human history? The Church tells us it was, hear it, the prayer of Jesus on the cross. God became man out of love for us to die on Calvary, and everything which Christ said or did during His human life on earth is summed up in His words, Father, into Your hands, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. This is a man, Jesus, a man, submitting himself completely to the will of God. And paying for that submission with his life. Oh, my dear friends, how well I know human nature. Well, I know the struggles that we go through. The bottom line is, tell God, I commend my spirit completely. I submit my will completely to Your divine will. Thou should always be the bottom line in our prayers. Asking God immediate, Lord, give me the grace to submit, to bend, to give in to Your will. Now we are asked, what are the principal lessons that Jesus taught us about prayer? And the Church tells us the primary lesson He gave us was His own example in prayer. Christ prayed always. Christ prayed during the day. Christ prayed, spending whole nights in prayer. I repeat, Christ did not have to pray. He prayed to teach us. Lord, His opening exercise of the retreat, I beg You, to say what the men I'm speaking to need to hear. Now we ask, besides teaching us a fundamental lesson He twice also give us other lessons which we ought to learn about prayer. Yes, there are some 10 things that Christ taught about prayer. First, we pray only as sincerely, only as effectively, as our hearts are converted to the will of God. Oh, what a statement. Our hearts must be bent. What a bending that is. Our hearts must be bent to the will of God. Another aspect of prayer. We are to reconcile with those from whom we may be estranged. If you want to pray as God wants you to, you must be reconciled with those from whom, I repeat, you are estranged. God hears the prayers only of those who are humble in not holding out their wills against the will of others. Third lesson that Christ teaches us about prayer. We are to pray. We are to pray for those who dislike us, or even oppose or persecute us. I hope my voice is loud enough to be heard. Is it? For months, I lost my voice. We are to pray for those who dislike us or even be openly hostile to us. This may be for some of us a new dimension to prayer. Next question. How are we to pray? We are to pray with no ostentation. Never pray that you may be seen that you are praying. Never try to impress others with how prayerful you are. Next recommendation. Avoid empty phrases in prayer. See what you mean and mean what you say. I would like to just pause for a moment. As you know, there's a difference between what we call mental prayer and vocal prayer. Our prayer is, of course, to be vocal, either internally or even out loud. But the most important thing in prayer is to pray with our thoughts. Think while you pray. Next recommendation. Avoid empty phrases in prayer. Don't just talk when you pray. Pray from inside of you.